It's time now for hour number two of this weekend's two-hour installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and of course the star of the show is Carol Marks, and she will be with us in this hour. We'll also be joined by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, who's got a lot of interesting things up his sleeve for us, including a conversation with Nicole Boyce. She's the founder and CEO of the leading rare disease advocacy organization, Global Genes, and she's going to talk about a first-ever report that quantifies the psychosocial, societal, and economic impact of rare diseases. Very, very interesting. And Richard will also be with us to talk about some of his own thoughts, as well as another interview with Marion Cusato. She's a thought leader and breakthrough designer known for her emphasis on building more efficient homes that respond to the needs of the new economy. That's coming up on this hour, plus more. Now, let's jump right in. Here is the star of the show, Carol Marks, in conversation with Dr. Andrew Weil. He's a best-selling author and the founder and director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine and a partner in True Food Kitchen. He's going to discuss his new book with Carol. It's titled True Food, Seasonable, Sustainable, Simple, Pure, published by Little Brown & Company.
So, Dr. Andrew Weil, I want to start out by talking about your pioneering work in integrative medicine. We all know about that, but I never knew about your interest in cooking. So tell us, where did it start, and how did you learn about what food is healthiest to eat?
Well, actually, I was always fascinated by cooking, but was kicked out of the kitchen as a kid. And I didn't really start cooking until I was in medical school. And I found that when I worked long shifts in hospitals, and this was in Boston, to get my head back in a good space, I found that imagining a wonderful dish and preparing it did the trick for me. So I've been a very good home cook for a long time. And over the years, many people have said you ought to open a restaurant. But I was smart enough to know that I knew nothing about the restaurant business, and it looked pretty tough. And then about 4 years ago, I was introduced to Sam Fox, a very successful restaurateur. I proposed him the concept of a restaurant that would serve delicious food that was also healthy. He didn't get it. He said, health food doesn't sell. And I think he thought I meant tofu and sprouts. So I cooked for him and his wife. He liked the food. He was willing to give it a try, but was very skeptical. We opened the first True Food Kitchen in Phoenix. 4 years ago, it's been an incredible success. We now have six of them. Most recent one was opened in Denver, and we're going to be opening a lot more in the next few years, you know, all over the country.
That is just so amazing, and these types of restaurants are so needed. Now, in your book, you made an excellent point when you talked about that most restaurants use four ingredients that are not healthy at all. What are they?
Well, there's incredibly heavy use of butter, sugar, salt especially, and you would be amazed at the quantities of butter that are added in restaurant kitchens to make food taste good. We use hardly any butter in our restaurant. We use a little bit in some desserts. We use olive oil and grapeseed oil as main cooking fats. You know, the food we serve and the food in the book conforms to the principles of my anti-inflammatory diet. And I think that's the best. It's based on the Mediterranean diet with Asian influences. I think that's your best shot at optimum health and maximum longevity.
And when it comes to anti-inflammatory food, what are some of the top picks in terms of anti-inflammatory food and spices? Because you must use them at your restaurants.
Yes, first of all, oily fish, which are rich in omega-3 fatty acids, things like salmon and black cod and sardines. All of the great variety of produce in all colors. Spices like ginger and turmeric, which are very potent natural anti-inflammatory agents.
Now, I know you don't eat beef, but you have a bison burger recipe in your cookbook, and I was amazed that bison is so much healthier than beef.
It is. You know, and I personally don't eat meat. I eat fish and vegetables. I'm a pesco vegetarian or a vegetarian. My partner, Sam Fox, is a heavy meat eater, and this is one of the things we fought about and had to compromise on. I didn't want meat served in the restaurant. He said, you have to have meat. And I said, well, I would rather see bison served than beef. Our bison burger is one of the most popular items on the menu. It's very delicious. We also have a good steak taco. And actually, I think one reason that the restaurant works so well is that there's something there for everybody. There are vegetarian dishes, vegan dishes, meat dishes, fish, gluten-free dishes. So mixed parties can go in and everyone can be happy.
You've also stated that most people think there's a big difference between the good food you really enjoy and the food that's good for you. And how does your signature dish at True Food Restaurants, which one of your key signature dishes is a raw black kale salad, how does it destroy this food myth? I understand it's very popular.
It is, even with kids. And this is the recipe I brought back from Tuscany. It's a traditional recipe. It uses black kale. The trick is to let it sit in a dressing that includes olive oil, lemon juice, and salt for at least 15 or 20 minutes before serving it. This softens the kale, takes the bitterness out of it, and then it's flavored with garlic, red pepper, Parmesan cheese, and some breadcrumbs. It's really delicious, and that's one of the things that people order most frequently.
Now, isn't there also a myth out there that the healthiest dishes have to be really expensive?
Absolutely. And, you know, the restaurant is moderately priced, and I think many of these dishes are very affordable. First of all, a lot of them mainly use vegetables, which are much cheaper than animal protein. They don't use a whole lot of ingredients. They're not complicated cooking techniques. I think eating healthy does not have to be expensive. But I would also say that a big problem we have in our society that we have made the unhealthiest food cheapest and most available. And we've really got to change that. People eat what's cheap and what's available, and we have not worked to make high-quality food affordable.
One of the things that you say that home cooks can do to cook better at home is to shop at their local food market. That's really important, you say.
Definitely. I think the growth of local farmers markets has been a great trend in our country. Also, community-supported agriculture in which you can subscribe to a plan with local farmers to get regular deliveries of their produce. These are very good trends.
Now, can you tell us about your website? Because I understand you've got some of the 125 recipes in your book on it. And what's your site's name, and what else can our listeners find on your site?
Sure. The website is drweil.com. That's drweil.com. It's got an enormous amount of information. There's a daily tips, daily questions and answers. You can look up any medical condition you're interested in, any treatments you're interested in. And then there is a section on cooking and recipes. And a lot of my other recipes are there.
And, you know, I think that if we can get Americans turned on to healthy food, we're going to be able to fight Western society's problem of obesity, which impacts our health no end.
The obesity epidemic that we're seeing, especially in kids, and the type 2 diabetes epidemic that's following it very closely, are entirely products of our creation. And the refined, processed, manufactured food that has now become universal is driving this. The simplest advice I can give to people who want to lose weight is to stop eating products made with flour and sugar. You know, it's really that simple. And the first step of the anti-inflammatory way of eating is to get away from refined, processed, and manufactured food.
Dr. Andrew Weil, best-selling author and founder and director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine and a partner in True Food Kitchen. The book that he discussed with Carol Marks is True Food, Seasonable, Sustainable, Simple, Pure, and it's published by Little Brown & Company. And if you want more information, there's a website to visit. It's drweil.com, drweil.com. Check it out. Richard Neer is next. He's going to be talking about rare diseases and the impact that they have on our psychology, the impact they have on our society, the impact they have on our economy, and just what the medical industry, science, politicians, and certainly victims feel and have to look forward to in terms of the future of this. That's Nicole Boyce joining Richard Neer next about rare diseases, something that's often called orphan diseases, and don't always get the attention they deserve. Interesting commentary coming your way. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on this great talk radio station in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you're the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, reminding you that if you enjoy the conversations you hear on A Touch of Gray and want to go into our archives and hear some great programs from the past, you can do so by going to atouchofgray.com, atouchofgray.com. Gray is spelled with an E. And you'll find out more about the host of the show, Carol Marks, a great lady indeed, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism, and certainly a leading voice in this issue. Coast to coast, this program's been on the air for over 20 years. Think about that. In a world that is dominated by media obsession with youth, it kind of is refreshing to have at least a program like this that's obsessed with the well-being of every generation and how they can work together. So Carol Marks, atouchofgray.com. Gray is spelled with an E. Check it out. Okay, let's move forward. Here's our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, in conversation with Nicole Boyce, as promised. She's the founder and CEO of the leading rare disease advocacy organization, Global Genes. And she'll talk about a first-ever report that qualifies the psychosocial, societal, and economic impact of rare diseases.
There's a new report out now about rare diseases and the impact. Tell us a little bit about what you've discovered.
Yeah, so I feel honored to have been part of the Rare Disease Impact Report that, like you mentioned, is the first of its kind report that looked to identify and really quantify some really important issues that affect the rare disease community around health, around the psychosocial and economic impact that rare disease has, not only on those patients, but also on their families and, you know, those that treat them in the medical community. So there are some pretty incredible results that, you know, we're excited to share because it really paints a picture, you know, about how needy this community is and hopefully will set the stages to, you know, what we can do to really help. Can I jump in and share some of the statistics?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the things that is pretty shocking is how long it actually takes to be diagnosed when you have a rare disease. You've stated that it's between 5 and 7 years in many cases.
Yes, and it's that is, and when you think about what that means to the patient, right? So 7 years on average to come to a diagnosis. So until then. You know, or during that period, during that diagnostic journey, you know, patients typically see up to 8 different physicians. They've been misdiagnosed 2 to 3 times. I mean, imagine the impact that has on them. You know, like we said, psychosocially, I mean, imagine being treated improperly, not knowing what the next day will hold. It's a problem. And what is also a problem, and this is what the report also, you know, goes on to showcase, is that the physicians are equally as frustrated because, you know, they don't have enough time. You know, we all know that we see, you know, doctors for 3 to 5 minutes. They don't have enough time to properly assess the patients, and then there's not real resources or information out there that can help them be successful in diagnosing and treating these patients. So, you know, it's kind of broken all the way around.
And, Nicole, I imagine that unless we do something, it's only going to get worse because there is such an impetus now to control health care costs. And I would imagine when you're trying to root out a rare disease that numerous tests are probably in order, and these are tests that aren't normally ordered because doctors are going on percentages, and just by its very definition, rare diseases means that the odds of having one of these is rare.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, there's a lot of legislation in play. There's a lot of efforts to get some of these tests, genetic tests, more readily covered so that doctors can use them as a tool to properly diagnose early on. You know, that's kind of a whole nother discussion and debate, but, you know, we have all systems firing with people from the patient advocacy community and the industry to try to help fix this kind of, you know, the process because it's broken. And so, yeah, I mean, the notion of high costs and the impact on the healthcare system is obviously top of mind. So finding a diagnosis quickly is, you know, of utmost concern.
And I imagine there is some responsibility, too, with the patients to accurately document all their symptoms, because when you tell the doctor every little thing, everything, I think a doctor is probably more likely to find that rare disease than if you just say, well, my head hurts.
Right. Well, you know, the patients in the rare disease community have had to take a really active stance in trying to help advocate for themselves and their loved ones. And, you know, but they're also doing this while, you know, it's also taking an incredible emotional and, you know, economic toll on them. So, you know, patients have to do everything. They have to be the science. They have to be, you know, the physician, the identifier, you know, and doing this while, you know, and the studies show this, while they're severely depressed, while they're feeling anxiety, while they're feeling isolated and alone, like they're on their own, you know, and while they're getting hit financially. I mean, over 50% have been affected and have to borrow money and tap into savings, and it's a really devastating time, you know. So that's why this report from Shire, that's one of the leading you know, biopharmaceutical companies here in the world, you know, put time aside, you know, to create this report because it's so important for us to be able to share this information to the general public and share that this is a health crisis and that there are problems and the system's broken. And now once we have that information, we can then take steps to try to fix it. So that's why, you know, as an advocacy organization, being part of this survey has been so critically important in the fact that we want to get it out into as many hands and as many people as possible.
Nicole, this question may seem oxymoronic, but what are some of the most common rare diseases?
So what everyone probably knows and didn't realize was a rare disease are like muscular dystrophy or cystic fibrosis, so probably the two most common rare diseases. They impact, you know, patient populations of about 40,000 worldwide. But the majority of the rare diseases, of the 7,000 rare diseases, actually affect less than 6,500 patients worldwide. So that's the majority. So there's 7,000 of these small diseases. So collectively and in aggregate, I don't know if I got to share this, but, you know, it affects, rare disease affects about 30 million people in the U.S., so 1 in 10 Americans, or 350 million people worldwide. There's more people affected than all cancers and AIDS combined.
Yeah, because there are so many of these rare diseases.
Absolutely.
I had an experience with a friend of mine who had Lyme disease, and Lyme now is more routinely tested for, but a few years ago, it was considered very, very rare, and people would go a decade before a doctor would say, oh, yes, Lyme disease, that might
Absolutely.
Be what you have.
Yep, and that's more common. That whole journey, like what we just talked about, is definitely more common than not. So, you know, yeah, so you have experienced it. And I think, you know, the message that I personally would like to get across to people, too, is, you know, please check out this information and start thinking, you know, in your friend base, you know, about the people that you know that have been affected, because it is shocking when you start really thinking through this, how many people you know, whether it's a child or an adult, you know, that has had some type of rare disease or disorder. And, you know, it's like we like to say everybody knows somebody affected. And once we start thinking in that way, we can start creating, you know, some successes like we've seen with some of the other disease groups as well.
That's Nicole Boyce in conversation with our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. And if you want more information, go to rarediseaseimpact.com. That's rarediseaseimpact.com. Speaking of the great Richard Neer, he is going to be back with us for the entire rest of the program. Coming up next, he'll be talking with Marianne Cusato, a thought leader and breakthrough designer known for her emphasis on building more efficient homes that respond to the needs of the new economy. That and more coming up on A Touch of Gray. The talk show for grown-ups continues right here in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do. And I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined again by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. And in just a moment, Richard Neer is going to be speaking with Marianne Cusato. She's a thought leader and a breakthrough designer known for her emphasis on building more efficient homes that respond to the needs of the new economy. She's written a book. It's called The Just Right Home, Buying, Renting, Moving, or Just Dreaming. Find Your Perfect Match, published by Workman Publishing Company. So, Richard, you've already conducted this interview with Marianne Cusato, and it's about to be unveiled to the world. What do we have in store for us?
Well, at one time or another, most of us have bought homes, and a lot of us make poor decisions when it comes to homes. We buy them for sometimes emotional reasons, and they pan out to be not so good financially. And sometimes we buy them for financial reasons, and emotionally we're not happy living there. So she's in this book managed to combine everything and really get you to think about what you want. Like, for example, realtors always say location, location, location. And we think it means close to what? And there are times you can be way out in the hinterlands, way out in the country, but you're a mile away from a grocery store. There are times you can live in the city with all sorts of people around you, and it can take you a half hour to get to a store. So it's that practical thing of how long does it take you to get to where you have to go.
I always thought location, location, location simply means how much value there is in where it's located, regardless of the benefits. I mean, there are people who live in the heart of major bustling urban areas where the real estate is $1 billion a square foot just because it's there, but it's not necessarily nice to live there. Or waterfront property that's flooded all the time and houses slide into the ocean, but it's millionaires live there. I mean, I've always just thought location, location, location simply was an economic factor as opposed to anything else.
Well, it's economic and it's convenience, too. I mean, you can live close to the water and have a great so-called location, but you can be far away from the things that you want to do. And I think that's the point where we misinterpret what location means to you, not to what piece of land the real estate sits on.
Right. Okay. Well, we look forward to this conversation, and then you'll join us for the final segment of the program thereafter. Richard Neer, coming up next with Marianne Cassato to talk about location, 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 and other things having to do with buying a home. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
K Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor seat, and as promised, here now is our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, in conversation with Marianne Cassato. She's a thought leader and breakthrough designer known for her emphasis on building more efficient homes that respond to the needs of the new economy. Her new book is titled The Just Right Home, Buying, Renting, Moving, or Just Dreaming, Find Your Perfect Match, published by Workman Publishing Company.
And Marianne, since this program is oriented for those over 50, baby boomers and such, we'll concentrate on what could be your final home. I think a lot of us plan, well, this is the place I'm going to grow old and stay in, but a lot of times those plans change, don't they?
They do. And, you know, you want to have as much information as possible to make the right move, so hopefully it is the last move, and I think that's what we target this book for, is figuring out all of those questions that you might not have asked yourself, so when you do make that move, hopefully there are no surprises.
Now, we hear in real estate all the time, it's location, location, location. However, you take a little exception to that in terms of proximity. Explain.
Well, location is a place. Proximity is where that place is in relation to all of the things that you need to do. And I think especially for an aging audience, if your eyesight is going and you may not be able to drive as many places or distances create problems, the shorter the time it takes you to get to the things you need, the more independence you will have for much longer.
Well, that's very true. I know a lot of people think, oh, I want to get out of the storm and throng of the city life and even the suburbs. I want to be in a secluded place. And yet I think a lot of folks don't take into account when you are secluded, you might have to drive a half hour to get groceries. And that's
right.
Certainly not convenient.
That's right. You know, that distance, the proximity between the things you want to do and even just the availability of safe places to walk so you can get out and stay healthy. Those are really key elements to consider.
No doubt. Talk a little bit about styles of homes. I mean, there's so many different trends. Now everybody likes the wide open style. Before, it used to be the little compartmented rooms. How does somebody avoid trends and get something that'll be classic that will last for a long time?
Now, the most important thing is just to look internally and how you want to live. You know, we're told a lot of things that we need in our homes, but before you listen to what you're told, listen to what you want. Listen to yourself and your own internal compass. We all have a pretty good internal compass, but a lot of times we're swayed in certain directions because we're told we should do it. So think about how you eat your meals, how you spend your free time, how do you entertain, how do you want to engage with the outdoors? And each of those is going to be slightly different for everyone. But as you start to understand, and we go over this in the book, we explain how the different options you might have to then help you articulate the things that resonate the best for you.
I can't tell you how many people I have spoken to, grandparents generally, who say, well, I got a house with four bedrooms because I wanted my grandchildren to visit. I wanted my kids to visit. And then they turn around and go, you know what? They never come. And when they come, maybe they don't want to stay with us. They want to stay in a hotel or somewhere where they can be close to recreation or whatever. What would your advice be in terms of number of bedrooms and basically size of a home?
Well, you know, you hit a key question because, you know, we have these sort of imagination of what the house could be at its fullest on, you know, on the holidays and, you know, for this, like, spring break or whatever it is that the family might come. But the rest of the time, we're in our homes. So we need to think about how we actually want to live in a space. And, you know, if your home could be in proximity to things that you can get out and be active, it actually also attracts people and your family to come visit. So, you know, the isolated house with the huge number of bedrooms is a tricky one because it's hard to live in day to day if you have a hard time getting around, but it also doesn't attract your family to come. What we're seeing is people that are living in vibrant places that are walkable communities and places that have a lot of amenities and connection to things not only provide a better day to day, more engagement, But they also attract people to come, your relatives to come visit, because there's something to do when they arrive.
Well, that's true. And I don't know, maybe it's just the families of the people that I know, but they say even with all those things, sometimes they don't come. But let's talk about scoping out a new home. Okay, you've selected an area, and that's something we'll get into in a little bit. But what are the elements that you want to look for right away? You specify five. Tell us what those are.
How the house is furnishable and livable. So, you know, a lot of times, especially when the boom, as houses were getting bigger and bigger and bigger, they also got a little dumber. They didn't, you know, every other industry seemed to get smarter, but our home building industry didn't get as efficient. So in some cases, homes are hard to furnish. So first and foremost, think about how you're going to live in the space. What types of rooms are there? How do you want to engage with the space? Is there a good place to put the bed? I mean, it sounds simple, but you'd be surprised the number of people that move in a house and find it not furnishable. You want to look at how the light engages with the space, you know, at the different times of day, especially if you're going to be in it during the day. You know, what's the experience of being in each of the rooms? How does it connect to the outdoors? The connection, you know, is there an easy flow between the inside and outside? You know, is there a back terrace, a front porch? Is there a seamless way to connect outdoors? That's really key in making a house feel and live large.
And I think also, as we get a little bit older, you know, we don't like to think about it being wheelchair accessible and all of that, but that's something that you have to kind of have in the back of your mind, even if it's not a wheelchair situation where you don't have a lot of stairs to go up and down and you can get in and out of the bathrooms easily, no?
Absolutely. And think about wide doorways that, you know, at least a 2'10" doorway is, you know, is nice to be able to get people in and out if you happen to sort of at some point end up in a wheelchair, or if you have friends visiting that are in wheelchairs. Is there at least one bathroom that you can, you know, on the ground floor that's accessible that you can easily get in and out of? And there are ways we actually list in the book. We have a page of suggestions of things to think about in advance that you could retrofit in for universal design. So we list those various things, like the door sizes, like putting blocking in. Maybe you don't have the grab bars. You know, the grab bars aren't the most attractive thing. They're crucial if you need them, but if you don't need them, then, you know, why have them for just because, but you can prepare to have them. So there's a list of things we do go through in the book to think about and consider to help the house retrofit better.
You know, and cost is a factor, too. A lot of people just look at the price of a home to begin with, but there are so many other factors involved in keeping and maintaining a home. Tell us about some of those little hidden things that a lot of times we don't think about when we're in the process of buying.
There are two major ones. One, the cost to heat and cool, and two, the cost to get to and from. So the heating and cooling, and we recommend that you ask for a year's worth of utility bills. And that's going to tell you, and if you can't get the full year, get January, February, August, and September. Because that's going to tell you how much it costs per month to operate this house. And, you know, a lot of times you might get a great price for the house and you think you're doing really well, and then you get the first utility bill and it's a couple hundred dollars. And you don't have that. So think through, you know, plan out and budget the whole thing. One of the key phrases we like to, you know, say about this book is it's going to maximize your value and minimize surprise. Especially if you're on a limited income, you don't want that surprise. The other thing is, how much does it cost you in gas to get to and from the house? If you're retired, this number might be a little less of a number on your monthly budget, but you still have to get around. And you still have to maintain the car and pay for it and pay for gas. So those costs add up.
Final thing, Marianne, in terms of geographical location, factors to consider when you're thinking about where in the country you want to live.
Well, weather is a key thing, and also, you know, proximity to family. You know, there's been this, you know, my parents are snowbirds. They've gone down to the warmer climates and built their life there. But we're also seeing a shift in that. We're actually seeing parents sort of moving to closer to where the kids are, as opposed to the old days where everybody sort of stayed maybe a little more local. So there's a shift in that. So, you know, keep your options open. We actually, in the book, we talk about how to choose a region and how to choose a city. So we talk about, do you want to wear flip-flops in January, or do you want to see the seasons? You know, each one has its own benefits. And then thinking about that, we're seeing, you know, the shift of people retiring only to California and Florida is that's moving away. There are obviously still a lot of people going down there, but people now are saying, well, maybe we'll go to the Carolinas. A lot of people are going to the Northeast even because of the cultural things. So, you know, think about what's important to you, and we outline that in the book, some of the things to consider that a city might offer to you, the character of the city, the character of the place, and the amenities that are offered. It's, you know, it's not one size fits all anymore.
Marianne Cassato in conversation with Richard Neer. And if you'd like more information, go to mariannecassato.com. It's MarianneCassato.com. Richard Neer rejoins us in just a moment for the final segment of the program. That's coming up next when A Touch of Gray continues.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
For almost every American worker, Social Security is part of the plan for a secure retirement. It's important to know how the program works. If you have questions, the answers are easy to find when you visit www.socialsecurity.gov. Use the retirement estimator to get a benefit estimate. Browse our frequently asked questions. You can even apply for benefits online. Visit www.socialsecurity.gov to figure out your retirement plan. That's www.socialsecurity.gov.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And we are joined again, as promised, by Richard Neer as we endeavor into the final segment of our big two-hour get-together. Richard, we must make mention of the fact that this is Mother's Day weekend. It's actually Mother's Day in many places we're heard, or Mother's Day is tomorrow in places that we're heard on Saturday. And, you know, one part of me says, of course, we should have a day for mothers. You know, they are very, very much unsung heroes. And then another part of me says, oh, the commercialization of these things. It's like the greeting cards are the conspiracy behind everything that motivates us.
Have you noticed local television is acting like Mother's Day is Christmas? For the last week, it has been, oh, Mother's Day is coming Sunday. What are you doing with your mother? Buy this, do that. And you're right. It's become commercialized. It's become go out and buy, go out and get something, send a card, flowers. And all of a sudden, it's turned into something other than one day. It's sort of like a week now.
These things cost a fortune. You know, it costs a fortune to have people feel that they are appreciated or on the same level. Because you know who those ads really are for? Mothers. Because the mothers see those ads. They then say, oh my gosh, they don't think I'm important enough to get me blah, 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 and take me to blah, blah, blah. In other words, it's the sales pitch is just as much on the recipient as it is on the people who are being put into a corner to feel guilty that if they don't drop at least a grand, that they're not taking care of their mother. Do you know that it costs the average family over $1,000 to send their kid to a prom for high school?
That's incredible.
Yeah, that it's gone to that point. I mean, it used to be a tough nut just to be able to rent a tuxedo or borrow a car. But you know
what's even more incredible is now there are proms for eighth graders.
Yeah, yeah, and that too. It's that if you don't give your child that experience, you're not a good parent. If you don't show your mother that she's worth going into hock for, you're not a good child. And look. I am all for business. I'm in the advertising business. We're in radio. We're in publishing. We're in this business. But there's a point at which it has a corrosive effect on the meaning of life. I guess it really is deep, isn't it?
It really is. And I'll give you a great example. I was away with a friend of mine for a couple of days, and his wife had told him that she wanted a certain T-shirt. He went to four shops, couldn't find the T-shirt, called her and said, I'm so sorry, I went to all these shops, I couldn't find what you were looking for, and she got mad and hung up.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Although that's deeper. Did you then say to him, did you put your arm around him and say, as your good friend, I want to let you know, get rid of her, get rid of her?
Well, he said, well, I've disappointed her.
And you disappointed her, you wimp?
You tried.
you poor beaten victim.
Well, how many times at Christmas the new hot toy is out and the kid just has to have it, and you go to all these stores and they're sold out and you can't find it.
And then, well, you can always beat up somebody who's got the last one and threaten them. You can knock somebody out of the way as you go to the bin where the last one is, kick them, step on them. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that what happens?
And then the kid gets it, and a week later, it's garbage.
Right.
They don't want to play with it.
Right. Because and they grew up not appreciating the value of a buck, which is the foundation of all that is good.
And get off my lawn while you're at it. We sound curmudgeonly, don't we?
Well, in a way we do, but something?
True.
One of the things I've learned is that the coolest people are the ones that I used to think were the uncoolest. The pain you get for becoming cool is to be looked upon as uncool by the uncool. Richard, thank you. That's it, folks. Thank you, Beverly Santanella. Thank you, Carol Marks. Thank you, the entire Touch of Grey team, Kevin Casey, Steve Wiseman, Richard Neer. I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend for another 2-hour installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.